You get a chance to continue my legacy here in Pinstripes, you know, in the best city in the world, the best baseball city in front of the best fans. This is an incredible honor.
That one's driven deep to left field. There's a flight. See ya. A long home run for Judge.
Gerrit Cole goes the distance.
Left, it is high, it is far, it is gone! Number 62 to set the new American League record.
This is 161st Street, Yankee Stadium.
All right, welcome back. Episode number 147, Four Train Savages Podcast. Rob, first of all, happy Memorial Day. How are we on this fine Monday? Beautiful weekend. I think last Memorial Day weekend, it like rained all week. Yeah. So mixed it up this year, and I was very happy with the weather.
Yes. Happy Memorial Day. Thank you for the service and sacrifices of all of our service men and women. So big weekend. But I went to the game on Saturday, and it was at – out of recent memory, because most of the afternoon games that I've been to in these past few years have been scorching hot, and I saw some people talk about how hot it was at the stadium yesterday, but on Saturday when I went, it was like the most perfect weather. Mm-hmm. It was sunny out, but it wasn't too hot. We were in the shade. Great day to see a walk-off, everything. So fantastic weekend for sure.
Once you hit like 70, like high 70s, like 78, it's like it's nice when you're outside, but if you're sitting in the stadium, like it feels like 10 degrees hotter because you're just baking in the sun.
Especially if you're out on the in the bleachers on the metal bleachers,
or if you're just in a bad spot where the sun's like on your neck, like it's just smacking you in the neck for 4 hours or 3 hours. But Rob, Yanks take 2 out of 3 from the Padres after a really lifeless loss on Friday. So they did their little thing that they were doing at the beginning of the year where they'll lose the first game of the series and then just take the last two. So I'm cool with it coming off of a series loss to the O's. Good team, Rob. Good team,
I'd
say.
They are a good team.
7 games back right now. I think we're, what, 2.5 up on the wild card? 3 up on the wild card to Boston. How are we feeling?
Yeah, it's. I was thinking about before we came on that it was more of a solid week, especially when you had the. I don't know if they are the best record in May as of now, but when they came into it this week, you're playing with the best record in baseball for the month of May, and if you say you lose a series, which was unfortunate because you could have went ahead and won that series, but then after a really disappointing Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. They finished off on this weekend, and you got to feel the same that I felt, honestly, before. And then you go on a road trip this week, going all the way across the country to Seattle and then L.A. The last time that the Yankees were in L.A. was they wore the black jerseys, I think, for Players Weekend back in 2018, I think it was.
Yeah.
So back when
Is that the London year?
No, London was 2019. I think they played in 2018 in LA, or maybe in 2017. I don't know. I remember Didi was on the team, and I think we had, we had Gio and everybody there. So
Gary
was on the team.
I love the new schedule format.
Yeah, so you get to play all these teams more often.
I wonder how the players feel about it. Do they like the shorter games, but traveling a little more, maybe?
Yeah, the traveling. They could feel either way that they get to go to all the cities that they don't get to often.
Yeah.
So, but I know there's been some complaints floating around, especially when the Yankees division, the AL East, is so competitive as it is. You're not playing the division opponents as much. You're still playing them the majority of the time. But that's why now they take an even like heightened importance, because you have to take care of business during those games when you're not playing 18 times. You're now playing, I think it's 12. So you lose 6 games. So from that standpoint, they may be a little off on it, because they're saying, we want to make more of an impact in the division standings and get up. But on the flip side, they could also say, hey, I want to go out to California more often. And
yeah, I want to go play in Petco or whatever it is.
Judge started his life in California, so yeah. Maybe for players
some more
like
time
that,
there now. Yeah.
You get to go out there. So,
if they're going to, I mean, obviously they didn't go to San Diego this week, but say they make it out to San Diego and then San Fran twice, you get to see his family maybe a little more.
Yeah, I think I'm hoping they're in San Diego next year, because that's one I want to cross off my list very soon. So I think they should be out there, but I know they've only played. Since the new stadium's been open, San Diego's only been there one time prior. So this was their second time being at Yankee Stadium, which just – the new Yankee Stadium's been here since 2009.
Yes, we got, 14 years?
That's wild that team has only been there for two – and you're playing 160 games. So I think overall there may be a little bit of a drawback when it comes to divisional opponents and you want to play in terms of standings. But I think for the overall –
I mean, when we're playing 18 games divisionally, I mean,
yeah,
you know,
just like, oh,
it's like
we're back again.
Yeah,
we're back
it's
again
like,
against
right, we
the
could,
Orioles
we could,
or
you,
whatever.
I think 13 is fine because it's either 12 or I thought it was 13, but if you're right, you could be right. It could be 12, but
it's also really good because the Yankees draw huge when they go to other parks. So I think having they probably don't need to do it for like cities like San Diego, but when they went to Cincinnati. That brings in such a revenue stream for them because the Yankees are so popular.
A stream they don't deserve.
Yeah, pretty much. Or if say the
Oakland.
Red Sox go there or the LA Dodgers go somewhere. So I think it's for the betterment of the game, but it was cool to see San Diego in there.
Like, dude, how often do I watch Juan Soto play?
Yeah.
Not a lot, you know?
Well,
so
I wish we could be watching them every day, but
yeah,
that's
exactly.
A whole other story.
Dude, they were after game one, they were ripping them on the radio. They were just ripping. The Yankees stopped being the Yankees when they didn't get Juan Soto.
Oh, when they didn't.
Yeah.
That always comes up.
Like, yeah, you just know, you know, if you had an 0-for-12 weekend, then you never would have said that. But
yeah.
Since he went to the second deck.
Mm-hmm. But it was a fun series to see them back. Quick notes on the Orioles one.
Mm-hmm.
So like we said, they had the great comeback in game one where Judge hits the game tying home run in the ninth with on an 0-2 count, just showed why he is again the MVP. And I think this year
out of his mind,
if he keeps this up, he will win the MVP. And then Volpe got the walk-off sack fly in that one. And then they come back out game two. They get a big lead somewhat big lead, and then Nestor is pitches very well. He got through the heart of the Orioles order, had only I think 85 86 pitches around there, maybe even 80.
I think it was 77 pitches.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so a low pitch count. Boone throws him back out there, and I tweeted this out after.
Yeah, it was
happened.
A great, it was a good tweet, Rob.
I If you're going to criticize him, make
it was
count.
It was a lose-lose situation. You could have criticized Boone either way in that scenario.
Nestor got through the heart of the order. Or the top three of the order. Then he has a manageable pitch count. The Yankees.
And he struck out like his last two batters or something.
The bullpen is taxed. You want him back out there because you want to stretch and see what he has.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, he had up to that point, he looked very good, but it drew back on him, and now somewhat the conversation continues to go of what's going on with Nestor. Is he the same guy? And
there's trouble third time around, for sure.
Yeah, and the Yankees blow that game, and then game three they don't show up whatsoever with the offense.
No.
Boone was ejected in game three and got suspended due to his high number of ejections.
And when he gets ejected, man.
I told you.
He's going.
I told
getting
you that.
His money's worth.
I think like our name, our podcast name was inspired by the rant Savages in the Box, clearly.
Yeah.
But I told you, if there's a guy standing in front of me screaming in my face, I don't care if it's my – like Boone, I understood what the Yankees – The strike zone of what they were calling against the Yankees was ridiculous, and I understand that some of the calls were out there, and you're saying, what
egregious.
The F? But I don't know, man. From a human standpoint, if someone's in my face like that, spitting that way, made complete sense why he would get suspended. I will say.
I don't think Boone likes to see himself like that.
I like the Yankees talking, but they do. I watch them a majority of the time, clearly. Mm-hmm. Yankees do a lot of bitching about calls.
Yeah.
Some of them deservedly so.
Oh, 100%. The judge low strike has actually, I think, decreased a little bit.
Yeah, no.
Their amount of bitching that they've provided.
The judge call, for sure. DJ is certainly adamant about it. But compared to other teams, now, I don't watch other teams as much, but from what I see, and clearly from the amount of ejections that Aaron Boone has had this early on in the season, it seems mm-hmm. that the Yankees are one that do it far more often than other teams, but I don't know the exact stats on that. But based off this year, screaming in his face, and he's the umpire said, "You just spit in my face." So, listen, if someone's doing that to you, it doesn't matter. I'm going to be pissed off.
And Boone's a good guy too. Like, he's a man of faith. I think a couple of his children are adopted, I'm pretty sure, right?
Yeah. So
yeah, he's a great guy, and I know I've listened to a couple of his interviews after, and I feel like he does not like to see himself like that after the fact.
It was a bit much, or more than a bit much. So he got suspended for the first game in San Diego, and
Randy Velasquez. Randy Vasquez, Rob, game one.
Yeah, he came in for this game one, made his debut, went 4 2/3, 4 hits, 2 earned runs, 3 walks, 6 Ks.
What did you think?
I think he showed a little bit of promise. I don't know. I can't jump the gun because I did the same thing with Brito. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I was wondering what you thought. 6 Ks was kind of cool to see, but 3 walks, same thing he did in the minors from what I've read about him. Crazy. He attended his, and yes, was all over this, attended his first major league game ever the night before. They like had him sit in the dugout just to watch.
He went to the Baltimore game before?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
that's pretty insane.
And then he's pitching the next day. That's pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm. But Soto, like you mentioned, second deck homer. Tatis also homered in this one after being heckled at by Yankee fans for steroids, and he gave it back to him in the right.
Yeah,
field,
we got to stop doing that, huh?
Dude,
it's like the F. Altuve.
One of the Baltimore games, they did the F. Altuve stuff. I'm saying, what are you doing?
Like, who's doing it? Is it literally only 17, 15, 16, 17-year-olds in bleachers? Like,
well, I wouldn't even say it for that demographic because I think it's just
that's fair.
Casual Yankee fans, because I'm sure there's plenty of younger fans
kids
that
our
are,
age, yeah,
that are like that, but they're probably I don't know what goes through their brains that thinks that they should just. You're not playing that team. It's the same thing. They won the World Series last year. The same thing when I hear Red Sox fans chanting "Yankees suck" at Fenway, and it just I always thought it was stupid, but the Yankees do
same
it too.
With,
so it,
yeah.
with Altuve, so it's cringe, and it's just saying, okay, well.
Same with the Mets. It's like,
yeah,
what are
Mets
you doing?
Do Yankees suck, but clearly we're starting to do it too now. With Altuve, which makes no sense.
We're just stuck on F. Altuve.
Ugh. Whatever. But Yankees dropped this one. Marinaccio gave up that 2-run homer to Tatis.
Yeah, I didn't love that.
Weber went 3 innings. He gave up the one single to Odor in the top of the ninth. But this game, the Yankees weren't scoring. Rizzo got in on a ground out to first, which Torres scored.
Are you worried about Ron at all?
I'm not worried about it. It's tough stretch. It's one of the reasons why everyone was saying, "Well, Ron Marinaccio could be the next closer or whatever." Closer, I said. I don't know about that. I think he's a quality relief arm, but he's still very young. He's still figuring stuff out.
He had a disgusting pitch yesterday to strike out.
But he is. I mean, there's going to be growing pains with him, but he's still. It's just going to continue to be on and off, and I guess that's okay.
I'm not worried about him either. I was just wondering because he gave up obviously 2 runs in that game, and then he had that really bad game in Toronto where he gave up 3, and then he gave up 2 back-to-back games in Tampa. But besides
now,
that, he
now
if he threw up a couple zeros in the middle of that, though.
I will see what he pitches does in the month lot. Of June. He'll that's also what you have to keep in mind too. The Yankees bullpen, you're thinking Canely's coming back soon. Uh-huh. So they have got
Ian Hamilton taxed. Going down hurt us, yeah. Dude.
And so they're being taxed, and they have guys that they need to get back in the mix. So you can't fully put it on him just because he's being used so much. But say once those guys get back, you say, all right, let's see what you got, Ron. Right back into that promising young stud that we're thinking you're going to be. And then, but the right now. Dog. The web dog. But right now I'm not too crazy on it.
Word. Yeah, I'm not worried either. I love him in his little role. They kind of don't have him anywhere specific right now, which I like. They just kind of throw him in there. And obviously higher leverage situation. But yeah, I'm not worried about him. Like you said, young AF and still figuring out. Pitches a lot too. So
All right,
a depressing game.
Game two, I was at this one. Severino pitches.
Could you also, hold on, before you go, could you tell how nasty he looked, like, from sitting there?
Because
on TV, he looked gross, at least the first four.
I was actually really, the first few innings, first three. He looked very good. I had missed, I full disclosure, the Tatis home run I missed because I was waiting in the freaking line for a hot dog. Because now the game actually goes faster when... And I don't mind it because the TV enjoyment is so much far better.
Yeah.
But it just seems it's going to be a bullet you're going to have to bite when you're
at the
going
stadium.
To the, so
get there earlier.
But I did, get there a little bit earlier. But he for the first few innings that I was able to watch him, and then when he finished up, he did look very, very good.
Hit 100 a couple times, Rob.
To build off what he did in Cincinnati, it was really good.
Mm-hmm. 6 2/3, 1 hit, 1 earned, 3 walks, 5 Ks since I interrupted you. But like I said, Rob, he hit 100 a few times. And I think when he got when he was pitching into the seventh, he was still hitting 97, 97, 98, 98. And I was like, whoo, damn, Sevy. So again, I think, are we kind of at the point with Sevy where we're like, all right, we're fairly confident with him on the mound. It's just a matter of keeping him on the mound. Like, we don't have question marks when he's pitching for the most part.
Yeah, I'd say that. I think I'd say it's all health with Severino. Yeah. Because when he's on and he's pitching, he's electric, man. And
Boone came out and gave him one of those little, you got it? Like, he made a first mound visit. Boone came out and didn't pull him, I'm pretty sure, in this game. And then I don't know what he did, if he gave up a single or a walk or what it was, but then he pulled him right after. So I kind of liked that out of Boone, that he went out there and didn't pull Sevy.
Mm-hmm.
And then let him stay in for one more batter.
So, the rap with Severino is he's got to stay on the mound, and when he's on the mound, he is a very, very good starter. And with all-star written all over. Mm-hmm. So, when he's pitching. So just got to keep that guy healthy. And he may be a little angry if Boone's trying to take him out, but
it's a love-hate relationship.
That's what he warrants, though.
Yeah.
So I know
he deserves it.
He's been mad at the Yankees for holding him out too long or whatever, but with his injury history, that's what they're just going to have to do. And I give him a whole lot of credit because he's saying, yo, I want to go out and pitch. I want to be there. I want, especially in his contract year. But, I mean, it's just it's the lay of the land with him. You gotta manage him differently than you would say a Cole or even a Nestor. Like, those guys have proven that they can stay on the mound. But with Severino, you got to say, okay, if we have to baby you a little bit with this injury, it's going to have to happen. But – so, luckily, he's
just
back.
Just go out and give us 100 and what can he give us? 120 innings, 130.
I think last year he pitched 140 something.
Yeah,
145.
And he missed a month and a half this year. So if he can give us like 130 really good innings, like, you'll probably go and get paid, Sevy. So just stay on the mound, keep doing what you're doing, and you'll get paid. How about DJ in this game, Rob? Because a lot of people are freaking out.
Game tying home run. Well, I guess we could talk about that. He
lead off double to start this game too.
Lead off
not
double.
Lead off double. but got them on the board with a double.
First inning double, yeah. First inning double to get Judge in after Judge hit one off the wall. And then he hit the game-tying home run after Tatis hit the homer off Seve, and then mm-hmm. Kim got a single in the left following the
He's got
error.
A glove, Rob.
But DJ's interesting because there's a lot of noise that was being talked about surrounding him. Deservedly so. I think he would say 3 for his last 34 or something in that
He's just being really mediocre so far this year.
Yeah, and you're saying, well, and we've said it all the time, for the Yankees offense to have him in the middle of the order, which is what, like, that's the luxury that you'd want if you have him in the 5 spot, is like, he's a guy that could be the straw that stirs the drink for the Yankees offense. And when he's not hitting, you're saying, well, shit.
I still think I like him in the middle of the order more than leadoff, because Gleyber's been, I don't know, he's done a great job leading off in my head
since he's changed his approach. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So I don't mind DJ in the middle of the order, but I think his season stats are looking pretty lackadaisical at the moment. Let me pull them up real quick. I think he has like a 102 OPS plus. That's off the top of my head, but let me pull it up.
Do you think this is the guy that we're looking at, though?
This DJ?
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean? For the remainder of his contract?
Yeah. Do you think, maybe not a 250 hitter, maybe not 320 on base, but...
Like, I think he's like a 770 OPS guy.
Okay.
Like, that's, you know... Because at the end of the day, they did sign him for $90 million, but you're paying $15 million a year for a guy that can play 3 different infield positions, and I think that's what you're – and a dude that has bat-to-ball skills. So I don't know. Did I ever think we were going to get 1,000 OPS DJ LeMahieu? No, I don't think the Yankees thought that either. I don't think DJ thought that, because I don't think he would have taken $15 million a year if he thought so.
Yeah, true. He would have been trying to demand more. No, I think this could be. I think he should be
a step up. Like he should be more towards like a 115, 120 OPS plus guy instead of like league. Because right now he's league average, basically. He's got a 737 OPS, 103 OPS plus, 251 batting average, 320 on base, 417 slug. So, you know, do with that as you may, or whatever the words are. But I think he should be a knock better, for sure. But even I don't hate, like, you know, you kind of have to have those guys in your lineup. It's better than having someone that has no bat-to-ball skills and is kind of like a Willie Calhoun type of
Josh
deal.
Josh Donaldson?
Yeah, Donaldson. Some people are actually excited for him to be back, huh?
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that,
back.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll save that for later. Yeah. But in this game... King, Peralta, and Holmes also went scoreless through scoreless innings in here. And then IKF comes in to pinch hit at the end. Let's talk about that. IKF has found his role with the Yankees, which is really mm-hmm. cool, because he's taken a beating from Yankee fans verbally for a while now after not performing at the shortstop position, not living up to even what his career numbers were to a point last year. And now he's shifted into this left fielder utility role, and he's thriving. Of this past week was probably his best week as a Yankee. The week before, he performed pretty solid in Toronto. So IKF has found a niche, and he always kept his head down
and worked and took the
criticism, and he's
always gave the right answers.
Always gave the right answer. Never said any backhanded things about the criticism, and he's playing really well. And I think this is the perfect role for him. And I know that we would like to have. I think I'd like to keep him on the team and mm-hmm. keep him in this role.
Look at that, Rob.
Because I think you were a little bit harsher on him than I was. But
yeah, I was. But I have been saying since I have said I was like. He was in a role that like he shouldn't have been in, you know? And it's not his fault, but I did rip him a lot.
It was the Yankees a little bit who put them – put. You took a guy who was a third baseman who won a gold glove there, and then you said, okay, we're going to make him the full-time shortstop. And
And they asked him, they were like, you know, how do you feel about not winning the shortstop position? He's like, I didn't deserve to.
Yeah.
You know, like I didn't play well enough.
So even the Yankees put him in a weird spot of when they were switching over from Glaber. They didn't go for any of the shortstops, so there's a lot of pressure on IKF to fill into that role. And then he's at the weird in-between point because then you have Peraza and Volpe coming up, and then you don't know what's going on there. So IKF was in a real weird spot. And there was an amount of pressure on him that probably played a role in what he was doing on the offensive side of the ball. But now he more so knows his role. He's becoming really accustomed to playing left field and playing the outfield, it looks like. And he's not going to be playing every day, but, you know, 3-4 times a week. And if he can make an impact like he did this past week, sign us up every time. So.
Yeah, he's in the perfect position. He can play third. Second short, I guess if you want him to play short, he never will, though. He can basically play seven positions if you're counting catcher, too, because they've honed it in a couple times. They're like, he is our emergency catcher. Like, he has taken reps behind the plate. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he's getting paid $6 million, but who cares, I guess, at this point. You know, what's done is done. But for spots like that, Rob, where you're like, the infield's in, all we need is a dude to put bat to ball right now and not hit a pop-up. Like, that's IKF in a nutshell. Just ground balls and hits the ball. Mm-hmm. So, I'm loving the role he's in. He's much more lovable, and I think everyone kind of loves a little IKF right now.
Yeah. So, Yankees take that one. Game number three, which was yesterday, Sunday. Mm-hmm. Garrett Cole on the mound. 6 innings pitched, 5 earned runs, 3 walks, 9 Ks. He gave up the Cronenworth home run to start the game. Then Judge came back to tie it at 1 with his homer to deep left center. And then Azokar, how do you pronounce his name? Azokar for San Diego. I don't know how, maybe butchering that. Puts them up 3-1 with a single. And this was the weirdest play because Bader overthrew the shit out of Higgy.
It looks so bad.
And then Higgy overthrew the shit out of DJ.
Who was DJ at third?
I think it was DJ, just didn't even move after the throw. But Higgy had a very good offensive game this game, and I just saw a clip afterwards that was really funny. He's like, yeah, I decided to throw it over the left field wall, so Higgy owned up to it after this. And there's a lot of noise about him being in the lineup over Rortvedt at this point.
I don't know. That's so dumb to me.
It is a little odd. I you look at his numbers, he's hitting over 200 right now, and he's a backup catcher. And I don't know if you really.
There's two backups playing. Right,
what
does it matter?
I won't blame people to say, "Hey, let's see what Rortvedt has." If you want to say that and say, "Okay, if he comes alive and does something," I get that. But losing our minds over a backup catcher, I think, is hilarious.
One backup catcher for another.
I think it's just a kind of a funny argument that's being had. So then in the bottom of the third, the Yankees rattle off a crap ton of runs that put them up big.
Mm-hmm.
Volpe singles, Judge singles, Rizzo singles, Bader grounds into a fielder's choice, Willie Calhoun with a nice little oppo double to left, and then IKF again singles in to get Calhoun, and then Higgy caps it off with the double in the bottom of the third. So then Garrett ran into some more trouble. With the Odor hit a 2-run home run, which he pimped, which was funny. And then again, the guy's name that I cannot pronounce, Azokar, hits the fielder's choice, and then it's cut to 2 runs. And who came in for? Just looking at the bullpen, Cordero came in. Jimmy Cordero came in, which then allowed. Cole's run to score, but it wasn't on Cordero. But Cordero has performed pretty well as of late. We know he was put in that spot for as the opener, but it's funny how these guys that we never would have thought had a role then come into play, like Cordero and Hamilton.
Yeah.
So, but
Ron is still a prodigy of that last year too.
Yeah,
he's kind of pulled up.
But Marinaccio came in. He got a hold in this one. He went one innings pitched with 1 K.
Mm-hmm.
Cordero had 2 strikeouts. And then Clay Holmes in the top of the ninth, started to let on a little bit of base traffic, and it's never
so stressful.
And Michael Kay said it too on the broadcast. He said, when you watch him pitch the first batter, really, and you could see if he has it or not.
The same with Chapman. We always knew off the rip.
Exact same thing, yeah. With what Clay does, so it's odd. And
yeah, I don't
but
know.
they held on to it. Clay settled in, and then they were able to get Tatis to hit a dribbler to end the game. So the Yankees take 2 out of 3. Clay, not
what do you think
what
about
you want
Garrett?
From Cole on a closeout game. Luckily, the Yankees rattled off all those runs in the third to give them the breathing room. But I mean, they mentioned
is Cole back to giving up homers? Is that a thing?
Yeah, yeah, he's back into that. I mean, his first month was outstanding with not giving up.
And we knew he'd get better or worse from pitcher of the month.
Yeah, so it's
but
it's,
in his
it's not that I'm saying he could still go out and win the Cy Young. He just had a fallback month of May.
We so know three that. Of his last one, two. Three of his last five games, he's given up 5 runs or more. Mm. That's not great.
No. So, turn the page, go to June. I know they play the Red Sox twice, so that should be well, that'll be a good test for Garrett.
How have we not played the Sox yet?
I don't mind it. I think save all the Red Sox games for the summer months where everyone's
going. All right,
I think
that's
they play
fair.
Them in September.
You're going
you
to
got
Fenway
the lesser,
this year, you said, right?
Yeah, I'm going in a few weeks. But the lesser amount of games, I feel like they're going to want to save those for the warmer months.
Stretch
when
them
all
out
the kids
a bit.
Are out
September,
of school.
October.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then
okay, fair.
I think there's one. The last series is at Fenway in September. So
it's Garrett a good marketing will, thought by you, Rob.
Garrett will be playing against them. So the month of June will be big for him. To bounce back from what he was in May, which was a step back. He still had – what was the one start that he had? He had, I think, two.
The really bad one was against Tampa where he
was
gave
against
up
Tampa,
6 runs.
But he had a
– I mean, he had a really good one against Toronto where he went 6 shutty.
So, yeah. There, and that's why I'm not losing my mind because there's some sprinkled in there.
And then he had a good start against Tampa, too, where he went 5 and gave up 2 runs.
Mm-hmm. So his season ERA is 2.93 with 73 and two-thirds innings pitched, 79 strikeouts, so we know he's bringing the Ks.
For those wins and loss people,
and,
6-0,
I mean,
Rob.
Listen, he's going to go out there and he's going to give you 200 innings, and we know he's going to
knock
have the home run ball. Yeah, knock on wood. We know that he's going to have the home. He's susceptible to the home run, and we know the walks have been an issue.
Yeah,
we hope that one I would be even more concerned about than the home run personally.
Yeah, the walks I'm not worried about. I think.
No, just I would say it. I would say I'm more worried about the walks than I would be the home run ball because maybe that's weird, but what?
No, I 100% agree with you
because he's
a really good pitcher. You're not gonna spring together a bunch of hits and a bunch of walks against him. You need to run into one or two.
Yeah, so because once you start getting the base traffic with him, then that leaves the door open for way, way worse things. So that's why we're saying cut down the walks, and the home run ball is gonna happen. I just think it is with him. That's just the story of what he's been with the Yankees. I just would my key thing would say, all right, let's not have these. I mean, what did he throw in this one? He threw 3 walks in this one. Let's that's a little bit too much, but let's get that down a little bit. So, not gonna lose my mind. Month of June, turn the page. Let's see what we got.
I'll be okay. I haven't even looked at our schedule for June.
They
how about Bader, Rob? He's
still
Bader slugging 500. He only has a 280 on base.
This one as well.
Yeah, he only has a 280 on base, but he's slugging 500. 6 homers this year, Rob. He's only played 1 month.
He's become, as he's become a Yankee, he's become Barry
Slugger.
Bonds.
Yeah, he's a slugger now.
But crazy from him. Let's move on to our savages of the series.
My guys are fucking savages in that fucking dungeon, right?
So we talked about him. I'm just gonna open it up, and I'm gonna cheat a little bit, saying because we didn't talk after the. We didn't talk after the Baltimore series, so I'm going to kind of lump it together with these stats. But for the past week, IKF two extra base hits with the home run that he hit against Baltimore, five runs scored, four RBIs, one stolen base with a 267 average and a 867 OPS. And we've ragged on him on this podcast, and so have Yankee fans, so I think it's well overdue. He had the walk-off in the game that I went to, and I think we got to give him his props where props are due. IKF has found his role, found his niche, and if he too, I think he had what I was looking at it the other day. Remember when we did our home run props? I think we had it at IKF was like 4 or 5.
Yeah, we definitely
Yeah. So he's blowing through that because, well, for one, we didn't know how long he would be on the team because we were saying, oh, maybe could they trade him? Which they held on to everybody, so that didn't happen. But he's going to probably blow through that. You know, I remember he had the first home run as a Yankee. He had it at
did he hit a grand slam this year?
No, we saw. Remember when we went to that Minnesota game? I think he had a grand slam or a 3-run homer.
Okay,
and we go, oh my god! Of course, he did it while we're in the building. So IKF deserves his props. IKF deserves all this credit. So good shit.
They deserve Savage of the series. Too.
So, yeah.
What does he call himself? The Hawaiian Hustler, I'm pretty sure. He said that's his nickname. I think he said it in an interview, like, oh, my dad calls me like the Hawaiian Hustler or whatever. So I know I think the Yankee social media team did something with it, but
that's awesome.
I'm loving IKF for now. I love it, Rob. I'm going to go similar route in terms of I want to give some credit out. This award could have it could go to Judge, it could go to Rizzo, but I want to give it to DJ. He got a lot of noise, Rob. Didn't have a huge game yesterday. He went 0-for-4, but 3 hits in this series, a game tying homer, 1 run, 2 RBIs, couple walks, and I just kind of like that he answered the bell a little bit, because if he went hitless in this series or went 1-for-12 or 1-for-13 with a handful of K's, we'd probably be talking, hey, you know, what do we do about DJ right now? Like, we got 3-4 years left on this contract. He's not doing nothing, yada, yada, yada. So I'm going to give it to DJ. Answers the bell a little bit, and let's see it continue on the West Coast, my boy. Going to Seattle, slap it around a little bit. Had the nice porch job. It's a classic DJ homer he hit this series. But I'll give it to DJ, Rob.
Nice. MVPs of sucking.
They stink!
I already talked through it, but I'm going to have to give it to Garrett when I was watching yesterday. Mm-hmm. It was just, he wasn't on. And we're going to turn the page to the month of June, and we're going to hope that he builds back on of what he did in April and how he started the season. So not too concerned, but I'm sure if these starts that come here and there, you're going to have the noise. He's not worth the ace money. You won't hear that from us, but yeah, we definitely need to see just a bounce back.
And he will.
And he'll be lined up to face LA. So mm-hmm. He's a California kid.
Yeah.
Again.
Time
so
to show.
Like we said with Judge. So we could see some big things from this weekend from the California natives. So we'll hope he bounces back again. That'll be perfect too. You going out to LA, have the ace on the mound, have Judge out there. That'll mm-hmm. be cool. So I passed on the Dodger Stadium this year. So maybe soon enough I'll be out there whenever they play. But I'm sure the MLB will try and milk that series. They wanted that World Series to happen a few times. What was the
They predict it like every year.
They predict it every year, but I mean, like 2019.
Was it 2019 where they were like, really? Yeah,
2019, they were probably going for it, but maybe thanks, one Houston. Day. Hopefully one day soon, but
yep.
I'm going with Garrett, though.
I'm going to kind of this like slightly contradicts my Savage of the Series with DJ, because I want to give it to Volpe. You know,
we got to talk about
he that. Had 2 hits in the series, Rob. He scored a run. He had an RBI. He didn't get on base at all besides that. So he was only on base twice. No walks, 3 Ks. And I'm kind of pushing my Savage of the – or excuse me, my MVP is sucking back into Baltimore. So I'm kind of combining it just a tad because I think Volpe is a topic of discussion right now.
Yeah.
He hasn't been great. He hasn't been great lately. I think his batting average is down to like 198, Rob. And I'm not even really too concerned about the splits. He's hitting like 198, something like that. He's at 280 on base. I think he's slugging close to 350. I'll get the actual stats up. But he looks like a completely different hitter at the plate. I don't really think he has an approach. The fielding has been iffy in terms of, you know, as we've seen on the internet, the throwing arm has not been there. He had a ball in Baltimore that went right under his glove, I feel like. I know it was like 110 off the bat, something like that, but he's facing some adversity, Rob. So I don't – listen, I'm not one to – I am not sitting here by any means saying – send down Volpe, call up Peraza, because Peraza is killing it right now in AAA. So that'll be a topic of discussion. But you can tell Volpe is facing some adversity right now. I'm not necessarily concerned about it. I just wish he'd stop swinging out of his shoes sometimes. And looks like, I don't know, like Paul O'Neill points it out almost every time he's at the plate. He's like, look at his swing. He's like leaning on his back foot here. So I don't really know what the answer with him is. I think you keep giving him run until it's significantly worse. This is what I said at the beginning of the year. Significantly worse than IKF was last year.
Yeah. So I think, yeah, my concern level, definitely let it still play out.
198 batting average.
I told you the one thing that probably concerns me the most would be just the defensive stuff that we saw like this past week was a bit concerning. You do too make a point. If it's going to be interesting when if Peraza keeps killing it and if this is the trajectory Volpe starts heading down. But with the bad series in Baltimore, he did have the RBI yesterday and he did have the he had the walk off. So there, when he has these bad moments, he does show why he is this highly touted guy and that he wants to be here and he's meant to be here. So it's certainly a storyline. I'm not going to lose my mind over it right now by any means. I would like to hopefully see the defense pick up, as would a lot of Yankee fans as well. So only time will tell.
The biggest thing to me is he's not walking anymore. Like I think he walked a ton the first like 2 weeks.
That's why we really liked him in the leadoff spot. You said, man, Volpe's really getting on base, and now he's taking a back seat a bit, and now he got pushed down to 6 or 7 in the order, and then they started in this series, they were actually hitting him 9th after
Which is
Higgins,
fair. He should be hitting 9th.
So it's a storyline, and we'll just have to see how it plays out. Because
he's still slugging 354, which is, you know, it should be higher, but it's not terrible, especially he's going down a really bad stretch right now. 198, 279, 354, 633 OPS. So it's not great, but then again, I still have to keep reminding myself, 55 MLB games, and what did he play? 20 AAA games. So, I mean, it's not going to be smooth sailing forever.
No.
Got to give him the summer months at least. If you want to make a weird change going into the postseason, I don't know, but...
Nah, I would want it a little earlier than that, and I think we would know, too, earlier than that.
Like we'll know by the end of August what the deal is.
Yeah, we would certainly know earlier that, hey, we got to start experimenting with it now, because if we don't want to be, hey, Peraza, like last year, hey, Peraza, you're playing shortstop in the ALCS or something like that. That cannot happen in my mind.
Wait, let's see what Peraza's stats right now. Hitting 329, 380 on base, 577 slug, 957 OPS in, that's 20 AAA games, and he's got 6 homers. So, Peraza deserves to play somewhere.
We would want it to be third base, but...
Yeah, the golden question is where.
Well, that transitions as well. So, Donaldson actually yesterday had a really... standout game in Scranton. I think he had a home run as well as a double
as he should.
So he will be back. I think you'd say he will be back this week. There's rumors that Stanton could get started as early as tomorrow with his rehab assignment. So could he play? Again, California kid. Could he be back for the LA series? That may be wishful. I at least said, I'm like, I want to see this dude in Fenway. So I hope he's healthy by then. So we want him back for at least next week. Could be the time frame of what we're thinking without barring any setbacks, knock on wood. So you got Stanton coming back. Rodon is apparently looking to throw off the mound soon. So we saw him at the stadium throwing in the outfield. So he joined the team. So you're thinking, okay, let's see it. Let's hopefully see him back in the mix throwing. As I mentioned earlier, Canely will be back soon. Probably this week, right? I think they said.
Yep, I think so. Canely's very close. And then obviously Ian Hamilton's still down for a little bit. Laza, hopefully July, I think they're saying.
But then Laza then had to do, like, ramp his throw. He got completely shut down. Am I wrong on that?
And
then
no, you're not wrong. I thought their target date was end of July.
I thought, because I was thinking he probably won't be back till, say, mid, late August was my
That could be fair, too.
Memory. But nonetheless, you're getting a bunch of guys back. And
you think they're going to be less athletic? Stanton and Donaldson? I mean, Stanton takes Willie Calhoun. Donaldson removes Waldo out of the lineup, which Stanton has been a black hole. Waldo's bad, which we didn't even talk about.
Stanton definitely coming in for DH. I mean,
you're only replacing Willie, so it's
Willie, but he's not exactly an athlete. Well, for a bigger dude, he gets around a little bit. But obviously, getting in Stanton is a big deal. But yeah, when you work in Donaldson at third base, then that makes it. If he's just the same player that he was, you're just saying you would rather be seeing other guys because
Volpe
you just know
third,
what he
or
is.
Praza at third,
you would 100% because when Donaldson comes back, we saw Peraza get run at third, and we said, okay, this could be pretty promising, and then you want to keep Volpe going, and then Peraza then got hurt on the base paths. But if we've said this, and I think plenty of other Yankee fans have said this, if we have to go between watching Donaldson do the same thing or have Peraza out there and watch him sort of find himself, we'd rather go with the younger players doing 100%. That. So,
but I still don't
want to
depend
on. But they're not
going to
do that.
Yeah, I still don't want to depend on three of them in the lineup. I'll keep saying that, though.
Yeah. But then now with IKF, too, or you think the outfield situation, you think maybe Stanton will get some more burn.
Boone did have that comment where he was like, he's going to still play the outfield.
So you would think, in theory, Oswaldo wouldn't be an everyday guy, so that you're not relying on him in that way.
I could see Waldo being sent down at some point, you know?
Yeah.
Especially with Stan and Donaldson back. I mean, because IKF can do everything Waldo can do and at least hit the ball.
Yeah, because Waldo did pick it up when we started getting the noise, but the numbers are still around the same area. 3 home runs, 15 RBIs, 5 stolen bases, but the average is at 201 with an on base at 253 and a 555 OPS. And now he's back in the utility role, but when you give him the everyday burn, I know a lot of people before the season were saying, make Waldo the everyday left fielder. Well, we kind of know.
We need a left fielder.
You need a left fielder. I know you're big on Jock Peterson, so you got to keep
watching.
I think
he's hurt right now, isn't he?
Just keep hoping that the San Fran just isn't that good this year.
Yeah,
but
they got to do something. Listen, they still got to trade an infielder at some point. I'm still like, I'll die on that hill. They need to trade an infielder. But I'll run it back to your point real quick. Rob, you had a good point earlier in the year. You said Donaldson, you know, if the math is going to math at all, Donaldson should be closer to what he was every other year of his career than last year. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a better chance of him being somewhat productive.
I think, we were talking about comparing him and Hicks.
Him and Hicks, which I think is kind of fair, you know? Mm-hmm. But
I'm just not glowingly optimistic.
Neither am I.
Happening.
No.
So
no.
He's going to be here and he's going to play.
Caution.
Proceed with caution.
Yep.
That's a great way to put it. So
that's Johnny Donnelly.
I wouldn't be surprised. Do you think he makes it? He'll probably make the trip out some point this week to Seattle or or LA.
What do we got? Six games out
west.
So
the off day on Thursday.
So he'll join them on Friday, probably.
Yeah, that's probably what's going to happen. So three games tonight, late night starts. Luckily for they're given the week. It's good that the weekend. I like it when it lines up that you get a weekend, especially in LA, because I want to watch all those games and I don't want to miss them. But because
we can definitely watch the game this year, Rob. Because remember when they go out west last year, we'd be like, bro, like we gotta work in the morning, dude. I can't stay up till 2 a.m. You know. But now with the pitch clock, you know, it'll be done by midnight. I can easily do that. You know,
very very true, very true. So tonight, actually, Herman comes back from his suspension, so he'll be on the mound against Seattle. But you got Herman lined up tonight, Nestor tomorrow, Schmidt on Wednesday, and then Severino on Friday to start it off against Kershaw in L.A., and Cole on Saturday, primetime Fox. And then the first Sunday night baseball on ESPN will be this Sunday. And then they get four straight Sunday night games, I think. Hold on.
Damn.
Three straight Sunday night games, and then they play a Subway Series game during the week that's also on ESPN. So they a lot of primetime games because we haven't gotten any of those to start the season.
Let's go.
So that should be good to see some Sunday night baseball, even though.
Do you think we'll get a lot of? Do you think we'll get a lot of if Judge stays healthy quotes?
No, we haven't got that. I think Smoltz didn't do that. I think the one time that they did broadcast the Fox game earlier on, I think he's off that now that Judge has stayed on the field and won an MVP. Ridiculous. So.
Rizzo too. Rizzo's supposedly okay. We didn't talk about here.
Yeah, that was scary. That was a scary sight. So.
Especially with him having back issues as well.
I wouldn't be surprised if they stick DJ at first tonight, though, just as a precautionary
thing. Like, sit him for all I care, you know?
Yeah. But Seattle's no scrubs either. They got a good They're two games above 500, so they're definitely
that division's weird.
They're not as good as they were to end the year, but they're still got to take them seriously, and they're no pushover. So
Houston's right, but Houston's back too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Houston started off really bad. It's
turned out to be a decent division, dude. Though freaking Athletics, man, 10-45. If the Yankees are doing that, no chance am I putting on the game. No chance.
No.
Every game. No.
They're gonna set the record for worst baseball team ever, bad for the sport.
What I saw something there on pace to win like 35 games or something.
Really bad. Not us. But I think that is it for this episode of the 4 Train Savages podcast, episode 147. Really appreciate you guys for listening. Thank you so much. Be sure to subscribe, leave us a rate and review, and follow us on our social media channels. Fun road trip this week. So we'll see. Honestly, do what you did this past week, and I should be okay. Gain a little bit of ground if wishful thinking, but it's going to be a tight race all year.
Keep winning series.
Just keep winning series is the name of the game. And exactly. So thank you guys once again for listening. We will catch you at episode 148. Peace.